Welcome to a special edition of Bridging the Gap. In our new series, which we're calling Bridging the Gap Briefings, we'll feature NeuroFlow thought leaders who break down the latest news and trends impacting the healthcare industry. In our first episode, NeuroFlow Chief Product Officer Julia Kastner explores the impact of AI, specifically natural language processing technology, on healthcare and new innovations that are making it easier to identify and support people experiencing suicidal ideation.
Hi, I'm Julia Kastner. I'm the Chief Product Officer at NeuroFlow. I'm responsible for our R&D strategy, which includes product management and design. I get to work really closely with the data science team and think about how we leverage technologies of all kinds for our customers, which include a lot of different types of healthcare organizations. We originally heard from some of our customers that they were having trouble reading all of the journals in our mobile application. So the way that our application works is that patients can do daily mood and sleep journaling, as well as take clinically validated assessments. They can do lots of different types of activities, including digital cognitive behavioral therapy. And so a lot of those activities included the ability to write journals or write snippets of text. What we found was that our customers, the clinicians, didn't have time or interest in reading all of those journals. And in particular, they were concerned that some of those journals had mentions of suicidality. They didn't want that to go unaddressed. So we thought, with our data science team, couldn't we use something like natural language processing to read the journals on behalf of the clinicians and look for language related to suicidality? For example, we might look for the words harm myself or kill myself. Our concern was that if we look for those words without a lot of context, we could overfire alerts to our customer. We might say something like, I was so mad I could die. And that should not trigger a critical alert to a clinician who feels the need to respond in a short period of time. So what we built was an algorithm that could read through the journals, find the right types of text, and then make a determination about whether it was a true positive, it was something that actually could be harm that needed to be addressed by a clinician, or if it was most likely something harmless. Another example of this is it could be a word that sounded a phrase that sounded like I won't kill myself today. So we wanted to make sure that the algorithm was intelligent enough to see I am considering harming myself versus I definitely won't harm myself. So those were the types of things that we wanted our technology to be able to do so that we could surface the people in need but not over alert our clinical users. We released our natural language processing algorithm for suicidal ideation detection around 3 years ago. And then we recently published research that looked back over that period of time. What we found was a lot of risk of suicidality that we wouldn't have seen if we didn't have our algorithm. We identified 425 individuals who were flagged for suicidal ideation by our NLP technology. We looked to see if they had done a PHQ-9 in the past 30 days. And what we found was that 58% of the people that we looked at who had triggered our NLP algorithm either didn't have a PHQ-9 at all or had not identified self-harm in the last question, meaning that 58% of people that we found were people with suicidality that we wouldn't have seen through traditional clinical methods. I'm really proud of our team that built this technology. It goes to show that the real power is when you combine the technology and what technology can do best, like process large amounts of data, and combine it with human workflows to really make an impact. Without this technology, a lot of risk would have been missed. And even if we had staffed clinicians to this type of program, it wouldn't have had the same impact. So we're really excited to use this as an example of what technology can do when you pair AI and analysis with a human in the loop. We're really excited to bring additional innovations like this to our partners and customers. One of the things that this technology enables is the ability to create an additional safety net to identify and support rising risk individuals so that nobody falls through the cracks. We all know that behavioral health can change suddenly. This was especially true during COVID, and other unforeseen events can dramatically change individuals' mental health severity needs. Technology can be there in real time to understand those types of nuanced changes in a way that an individual will never have bandwidth to see. We love collecting large amounts of data and allowing machines to process those massive amounts of data because that's what machines are best at. And then we can involve humans to have that human touch when needed. The term AI means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. A lot of the news these days is about large language models, which is sort of a type of model related to natural language processing coming out of the world of natural language processing. But AI, or I put that in air quotes, AI in quotes can mean a lot of different things. And from our perspective, what we mean by AI is anything that allows technology to support the types of tasks and automation that humans need to do. So we're always looking at the evolution of these technologies in the industry and looking for opportunities to bring them to healthcare. Healthcare is not going to be the first adopter of a lot of the new technologies that are emerging, but the use cases are extremely clear. Anywhere where you have a lot of data and the goal is to find signal in that massive amount of data, technology can help you do that. These AI models can help you do that. We're really excited to think about the possibilities of natural language process as we've been using it, but also the potential of large language models and other types of data science and data analysis to look at large amounts of data in the healthcare ecosystem. There is signal in EHR data, there is signal in claims data, there is signal in pharmacy data. There's a lot of opportunities to look for those changes in behavioral health need, either retrospectively or in real time, and those are the initiatives our team is working on today. Some of the ideas that our team has brainstormed over time that we might implement in the future include looking at wearable data, and in particular, physical activity data, to see if those who track workouts actually have better behavioral health. We've seen that historically in our data, that if an individual is using their Apple Watch to track their workouts, they tend to have better behavioral health. And we think that could be a really interesting predictor and also nudge people towards better behavior. Another piece we've always evaluated is the user interface of a chatbot. We haven't built chatbots into our platform today because we think that more traditional user interfaces can be really valuable for certain populations, but there might be other populations that could really benefit from a chatbot user interface, and that's something that we're always evaluating and exploring. And then finally, the application closest to the natural language processing algorithm that we have today is using a similar NLP algorithm for detection of addiction. Are folks journaling about going back into addiction? Are we able to detect increasing severity from an addiction and substance use perspective? And can we build a similar algorithm to provide that safety net for those who are slipping back into a problem and need immediate help? I'm so excited about the work that our team is doing and the way the industry is moving to support more people in need. My general philosophy is that innovation in this space is providing better access. There isn't always access to care, in behavioral health especially. There are long waiting lists, people don't get the care that they need. And adding more supply is going to be a long and challenging journey for us all. The best way to increase access to services like behavioral health is to find the people that need it most and pair them with the right level of care. And that's what I think this technology can do.
Thank you for listening to Bridging the Gap Briefings. To learn more about the research discussed today, visit neuroflow.com/research. As always, be sure to follow us on LinkedIn for more Neuroflow news and subscribe to Bridging the Gap on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music.